All right. Wow. There's a lot more men in here than I thought would be in here tonight with the teachers and the car wash. And first, just definitely wanted to say thank you to everybody who will or is participating in the teen car wash tonight and next week. It definitely, those guys are definitely encouraged. And even if you wanted to, but just may not have had the means to do it, we appreciate that as well, too. So, again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Amen. Trying to get situated here. But before we get started, definitely wanted to remind us about the Women's Day. Guys, these women are really, you know, counting on our help as well. So let's try to do our part and get invitations. And I think I've probably passed out maybe 20, 25 invitations. We've been barring invitations and everything because I really want women here in Gwinnett and all over Atlanta to come and be encouraged by, you know, the missing piece. And so I just can't wait to hear about it from my wife. And so if you can, whether you're married, single, campus, please encourage your friends that you may know to come out and be a part of this, the Women's Day service. I know for the adults, it's $25. And for the, I think it's 15 and below, the campus and, well, not 15 and below, but for campus and the teens, it's $25 for the adults and $15 for campus and teens. So if you can, please, please, please help by getting involved in that. It's okay, hey, if she want to yell and scream, hey, have at it. I might do some of that, so hey, don't take her out of here. But tonight, brothers, we're going to talk about getting involved. That's a broad, you know, title. That's a broad spectrum here, but we're going to narrow it down some. And we're going to talk about getting involved and from a standpoint of spiritually, from a standpoint of relational, and from a standpoint of emotional. And so, you know, for men, getting involved, you know, it can mean a lot of different things. You know, I remember after I graduated from college, I thought getting involved, you know, just meant, you know, getting knowledge. Like if I knew about something, if there was a game or whatever, I wouldn't mind going to it. And for me, hey, I was involved because I was there with the rest of the crowd. But that wasn't quite getting involved. And so tonight, look like we don't have any internet service. Okay, never mind. There we go. My hotspot is on. Getting involved. It means to get engaged. It means to engage or affect something or someone. Now, that word affect is a very powerful word because we can have all types of relationships. We can have all types of interactions without ever affecting the person that we were having an interaction with. We can get together and we can leave there and neither one of us will have been affected by the other. And that's not the involvement that we want to talk about tonight. You know, I got a chance. We were sharing Tuesday. I was talking with John and Steve and we were just talking about, you know, life growing up. And I remember playing basketball in high school. And I remember just, man, how every person on our team, we had 13 players, but every person from the starting five to the last person off the bench had to be involved because we had about 40 plays and our coach would just call a play just randomly. And if you wasn't paying attention, you would be in the wrong spot because he might call flex, which is a man-to-man play, and you might still be in a zone play. And it completely affects the other four players if you're not where you are. And so for men tonight, it's easy for us to think we're involved, but sometimes we're not. I want to show you guys a picture. Here is a team. And if you guys can see the score, you see the score was 132-97, right? Now, the game wasn't over, but do you think both of these players are involved in the game? Nowhere close. One is nowhere close to being engaging. If he was called on right now to get in the game, he would not have a clue. And it's that easy sometimes to just drift off, to just, you know, when you're on in the beach, you know how you stand in one spot and when you know anything, that way the current done pulled you all the way out. It is so easy, especially as men, you know, to sometimes just not be engaging, to not. And this would be a score that you would think he would be very engaging. Things are going great. Well, it can be that way for us sometime. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. As men, sometimes things are going great. And you can be there and really not be there. And that's exactly what's happening. So let's jump into the lesson. My first point, we can be there and yet not be there. And we think we're involved. And so just like Iguodala, which is probably why he got that shot blocked at the end of the game that caused the demise. We can be there and not be there. We can be there with family and not be there. We can be there at work and not be there. We can be there in our family groups and not be there. And so let's elaborate on that a little bit. You know, some of the things that cause us to, you know, to really not be engaging, you know, coming home on the phone. And these are things, guys, I'm sharing with you that I've been personally guilty of, that my family, my children has had to help me out with, because my family wants me to be more engaging. And on the phone, on the computer, on the couch watching TV, it's about to be football season. And so a lot of us have those imprints on our couch when football season come in. Work. And others. So you guys fill in the blanks as far as what are some of the things that keep you specifically from not being there. And I really want to talk to the marriage here for a second. Be turning your Bible over to 1 Samuel 2. And we're going to look at Eli here for a second. And but as we're turning over, I want us to be thinking about the impact that we can have when we aren't involved. The same way we're going to talk about the impact that we can have when we're involved. But when we're not involved, there's such an impact on everything we do. There's an impact. Did it go out again? Hey, where's Corey when you need him? Hopefully it'll come back up here in a second. But the impact that we have, it looks like it's trying to come on and off. But the impact, guys, that we have is so needed by our family. You know, it's not the things, it's not the money, all that. It's the time that our families want with us. Because that's what's going to make the impact, not the things. So as Joe tries to help me get this thing back on, let's turn over to 1 Samuel 2, and let's start in verse 22. It says, "Now Elijah, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So he said to them, 'Why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, the reports I hear spreading among the Lord's people is not good. If one person sins against another, God may mediate for the offender. But if anyone sins against the Lord, who will intercede for them?' His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and all the people." Now, this passage right here says a lot. And we may have heard about this story many times. But Eli and his sons were priests. And now his sons are doing these wicked things. And the thing I want to focus on here is the impact that Eli could have had. Because he was there, but he wasn't there. And sometimes we can get so caught up in doing things that we forget about the impact that we have. Now, think about it. Eli was a priest. He's trying to do godly things. He's out trying to be about the Lord's purpose. But here it is that, man, his own family is crumbling. His own family is out doing wicked things. And I want to talk to the married brothers here for a second. You know, God has given us a great responsibility, whether we have children or just a wife. And that's a huge responsibility that we bear. But the Bible says God will never give us more than we can handle or bear. That's right. So that's what comforts us. Right. However, in this responsibility, we all have to be careful not to be there. I mean, not to just be there in body, but our minds are someplace else. You know, I don't know about you, but anybody ever had their wife tell you, "Are you listening?" Yeah. You know, and it's like, and you know, when that question comes up, "Are you listening?" There's no right answer. There's no right answer you can give, because if you say no, then it's like, OK, well, why weren't you listening? And if you say yes, then you know what's coming. What did I say? Because they know we aren't listening, right? And so this is, guys, this is just an example of how we can be there and yet not be there. Right. On little stuff like this. Yeah. But if we aren't careful, we will let that seep into our spiritual life. When it comes time to affect our children, when it comes time to, you know, affect our family as a whole, we can be there and not be there. We can wonder why, man, why are things going the way they're going in my household? I get off work and I come straight home. But what type of impact are you making when you get home? Wow. What are you doing with your family when you get home? Or are these the things that your family would say my dad is doing? And for me, I was very convicted, guys, because we would be having family time and my phone would ring and I would answer it. And I never forget my daughter in the next family time. She literally, as we going around talking about what can everybody do better, she confessed. She was like, "You know, Dad, one thing I wish you would do better is not answer your phone when it's our time." I was so hurt because I'm like, oh, my God, because that's something that she looks forward to every Monday. And so now if you call, it'll probably go to voicemail Monday nights. Not that I want to ignore anybody, but I want them to know that I am really there. Amen. Not just in body, but that I am there. And we will talk about God. And this is something, guys, that we want to encourage everybody, you know, to start doing. Why do we want to start doing that? Because God is very serious about involvement. You know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, the multicultural church. We've been talking about, you know, a multicultural generation. And sometimes that can be overwhelming. You know, it can be, well, where's my place? What is it that I do? You know, am I a baby boomer? Am I Generation X? Am I millennial? But everybody has a role to play. Whether you are a baby boomer or a millennial, you have a role to play in God's kingdom. And God takes that very serious, you know, but sometimes it can be hard when you are trying to get involved. You know, for an example, if I'm a, you know, if I'm a baby boomer, or for me, I'll give you guys a good example. You know, my generation, I'm 45 years old. It irks me to no end when I see guys walking around, they clothes hanging all off of them and, you know, a cigarette behind it. And I'm just like, but that's cool. And I'm just like, wait a minute, you know, that bothers me. But what do I do about it in my role? you know, do I look down and criticize them? Do I just turn a blind eye to whatever's going on with that generation that I really don't relate to? What do I do? Because I do have a role in each generation. And so God takes it serious as far as what are our roles. But like I said, sometimes it can get hard. It's hard to actually, you know, to step out and do that, because we've been doing things for so long a certain way till it's like, you know what? Why even say anything? They probably won't get it anyway. How many of you guys in here have something to write with? All right, cool. For those of you guys that have something to write with, I want you to do this for me. We're going to do this quick exercise. Take the pen in the hand that your strong hand. So if you're right-handed, write with your right hand. I want you to write in cursive. Just write your name. That's all I want you to do. Just write your name in cursive. It'll make sense in a second. And see, what's crazy, some of the millennials are like, cursive? What is that? What is cursive? They don't teach that anymore in school. I know, yeah. And so I want you to write your name. It won't work if you're doing it on a tablet. This will only work if you have pencil and paper. All right. Now, everybody that have done that, now I want you to take that same pen or pencil that you have and put it in your opposite hand. Now I want you to write your name in cursive again. Huh? I know, right? All right, is everybody done? All right, quick question. How does it look when you wrote it with your opposite hand? Look a little weird and a little funky, right? Right. Now, the whole purpose of this, guys, is to show you is that, you know what? Change can sometimes be a little difficult. It can look a little messy. It can take a little longer to get done. But the more you do it, the neater it becomes, the quicker you'll be able to do it. And so God is saying the same thing with us. Guys, we are all experiencing something new. Right. And it feels awkward at first. Family groups, leading our families for some of us, being righteous at work. It feels awkward because we're being called to get back to God again. And so it can feel awkward. It can even look messy when you start doing it. It can look like, oh, man, if I have to go and have this conversation with my wife or with my kids, this may not go well. This may not look the way I want it to look. When we're having conversations with each other, sometimes they can be messy because, man, we are trying to all get back to God. That's it. Not about each other, but to God. And so just like with that pen, it even feels awkward when you put it in your other hand. It feels like it don't belong here. That's how change can feel sometimes. And what we're talking about is changing so that we can have an impact. Amen. Maybe we haven't had the impact that we've wanted in the community, at home, in church, but that's okay. It takes a little time. It starts off a little messy, but man, God cleans it up. The more we do it, he makes it look so good, right? And so we're going to keep reading here in 1 Samuel 2. We're going to pick up in verse 27. Now, a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Did I not clearly reveal myself to your ancestors' family when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? I chose your ancestors out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priests, to go up to my altar to burn incense and to wear an ephod in my presence. I also gave your ancestors' family all the food offerings presented by the Israelites.
why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribe for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people of Israel? Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that members of your family would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. The time is coming when I will cut short your strength and the strength of your priestly house so that no one in it will reach old age, and you will see distress in my dwelling. Although good will be done to Israel, no one in your family line will ever reach old age. Every one of you that I do not cut off from serving at my altar, I will spare only to destroy your sight and sap your strength. This is a bad message to be receiving. Imagine you're a priest and you're hearing that. And the reason why he's getting this message is because he didn't get involved in his son's life. He was not involved. And it affected a lineage. See, if you go back into the beginning of 1 Samuel, towards the end of 1 Samuel, it talks about, man, the people were coming back to Eli, telling him about his sons. They were telling him what was going on. And he didn't get involved in their lives. He didn't dig deep. And brothers, we have to be careful, because the same thing can happen today. The exact same thing can happen today to us if we aren't careful. Now, how do we get into our children's lives? How do we get into each other's lives? And I'm going to talk about some practicals here in a minute, just about some things that we, especially as men, have to be very, very careful about. Because these are things that creep into our lives and we don't even know they're there. And they ebb away at our character. They ebb away at our spirituality, which leaves us with just a shell sometimes. Although we want to make an impact, the impact that we want to make, we cannot make. And I don't doubt for a second that Eli wanted to make an impact in his family. Can you imagine how happy he was when God told him, hey, your whole line will be priests forever for me? Can you imagine God telling any of us that? Like, hey, you know what? Because you are righteous, man, everybody in your family, will be with me for forever. That's a great feeling. And then to come back and someone else have to tell you, hey, listen, man, because you're sons. And it's so funny. It starts off by saying Eli's sons were scoundrels. That's how the Bible reads that. That's not us making up. It says they were scoundrels. And, you know, we all hate to hear anything bad about our kids. You know, it's like, oh, man, you know, no, not my little Johnny, you know. And but sometimes, guys, we need to hear the bad about our kids, because that's God's way of inviting us to get into their lives. That's God's way of saying, hey, stop doing what you're doing. You know, here's where your attention needs to be. And I'll just tell you guys, just from, you know, being a youth and family minister, it's great working with each and every one of you guys, children that have kids come in here to the middle school or the high school. It's great because we get to see their hearts. We get to see them, you know, fall in love with God. We get to see when, you know, when the eyes open up and they actually start getting stuff. But you guys are the ones who get to plant those seeds. You guys are the ones who get to shepherd them into God's word. Amen. You know, and we get to share that. And so I just want to thank each and every one of you, first and foremost, for allowing your kids to be a part of the youth and family ministry, because it means a lot. And now to the campus and singles, I do want to say that even though you guys may not have children, you play a role in this as well. I listed some things up here that as fathers, here's some things that we can really do, you know, to change and to start making impacts in our kids' lives. Reading the Bible together. How impactful is that for you to, whether you have a son or a daughter, to introduce God to your child, someone you want them to fall in love with? You are the matchmaker. So you are either going to hook them up with God or hook them up with the world. It's one of the two. And so what we want to do is we want to create a culture that's going to, man, allow them to embrace a relationship with God, not one that makes them want to repel from God. You know, because the things we looked at on the other side, the sitting on the couch, the being on the phone, those are things that can hurt that relationship with God, even though we don't even realize it. Praying together is huge.
Right.
When you pray with your children as couples separately, it is so impactful, because what happens is there's a bond there that's being built. And sometimes we don't even realize it. We don't even know that, man, our kid, God is doing something through those prayers, because he's hearing these words that's going up to him and he's acting on them. Although sometimes we don't see it, God is moving things for us. But if we aren't praying with them, we will never even look to see what is God going to do.
Wow. Come on,
right. Spending quality time together. And see, guys, this is where as men, we really have to be careful, because we can think that quality time is, hey, I sat on the couch and he watched the football game with me. That may be quality time for you, but was it quality time for your child, your son or your daughter?
Yeah.
You know, have you even asked, hey, what is it that you would like to do? Sometimes they may just want to get on their bike and go to the park and ride.
Yeah.
Sometimes they may just want to go and get some ice cream or a cheeseburger.
Okay.
That may be quality time. And just talk and listen and ask questions. And these are the things that will help your child have that relationship with God that we want them to have, but more importantly, that God wants them to have. Having hard talks. Sometimes it's hard to have a hard talk with your child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a girl, like I have a little girl. Sometimes it's hard to have a hard talk with my daughter, because she goes to crying and I have to admit, I'm a sap. You know, my daughter goes to crying and it's like, OK, you know what? Jaleesha, come in and talk to Jada, you know. But no, as the spiritual leader of that house, as a dad, there's times when I'll need to have hard talks with my daughter.
Yep, gotcha.
But singles in campus, here's the deal. These kids that we're talking about, these middle schoolers and teens, man, this is an opportunity for you guys to help the next generation as well.
Mm-hmm.
It don't say anywhere in the Bible you can't pray with them. It don't say anywhere in the Bible you can't read and share scriptures with them. It definitely don't say anywhere in the Bible that you can't spend quality time with them. I'll be honest, my son and my daughter love hanging out. You know, when campus or teens or anybody, singles come by, they love hanging out with them. And most of your kids do too. And they love it. Guys, we have to, you know, make sure that we are finding time to be available, you know, for these kids. The same way married. Are we finding time to have these singles and these campus in our homes? You know, are we talking to the Franciscos who just got engaged about, hey, listen, man, let me just tell you what you can expect to come. You know, here are some do's and don'ts you may want to stay away from. You know, are we using our generational wisdom to help out? But guys, these are things that God wants us all, you know, to be a part of and to help out with.
That's right.
Having encouraging talks. I tell you guys, there's nothing more inspiring to a child, a teenager, than for an adult to have an encouraging talk with them. To talk about God, to talk about your life. You know, I shared with some of you guys, you know, the Washingtons came and taught a class for the teens about a month ago now. It was so inspiring our teens, they got a chance to be co-defendants and defend Jesus. Well, Joseph, you know, was the defense attorney, but his wife, you know, was the prosecutor, and she was on him. And what had to happen? They had to defend Jesus. But it was so encouraging that they had Joseph there helping them to defend Jesus. Imagine if they had all of us doing that constantly, defending Jesus, because they get pounded at school. We just think peer pressure has gone to another level from the time we were in school, guys. I mean, we didn't have social media to worry about. We just have to worry about, am I going to see Derek get off that bus today? That's all we worried about. If he don't get off the bus, my day was great. If you see him get off the bus, you know, it's going to be a long day, right? Now, their peer pressure starts before they get to school. Their peer pressure starts the moment they wake up and log into their social media accounts. That's when it's starting. So how much more do they need encouragement from us? They really, really need it. I want to share a couple of things with you guys that, you know, we've been doing a lot of reading. I really appreciate it, Steve, for this. Just really looking at research, really digging into millennials and the way they think and the way they act. But also as parents, because as a parent, I want to be well informed. I want to be able to help make the best informed decision that I can make, you know, for my children as well as for my family. You know, one of the things they talked about is expecting your teen to have a devotion to God that you are not cultivating within yourself. You know, and it talks about, you know, as a Christian parent, you know, are you Christian? Do you have a Christian version of the way you live and what they see, or do they just get you do as I say do and not as I do? Because that is so important. They need to see us living this out and not just doing it because we said do it. Don't just go to church and read your Bible because I say do it. Man, this is why we do that. This is why we read our Bible. This is why we pray. Not expressing genuine love and like for your teen. That's huge. You know, it says your teen won't ask you for it. So don't wait for an invitation. Most of our teens in here, they're not going to ask you to tell them how much you love them and how much you appreciate them. So if that's what we're waiting for, we have a long wait in store. No, don't wait for that invitation. Go and do it. Pray every day for them and ask God to help you become one of the core people in their lives that he uses to affect them. Because here's the deal, guys, if we aren't the ones in their lives that's affecting their well-being in their life, you can best believe it's probably that kid who sits two seats away from them in math class, who doesn't have a spiritual bone in his body, or it's some other adult that he may think it's cool because of what they do or what they have. And I don't know about you, but I want God to use me to be the one who affects my kids spiritually.
Amen.
And as men, I pray that all of us want that.
Amen.
Right? Outsourcing your teen's spiritual formation. You know, and guys, I have to say this, and this is not just because I'm a youth and family minister. But, you know, while youth group and church is very important, we have to remember that development of your child starts at home.
That's true.
Right? This is not something that you can outsource. And what I mean by outsource is, hey, let me get them to Swamp. Hey, let me get them into the middle school class. Or, hey, let me get them into the teen class. No. Don't get me wrong. Those things are all great. However, it is your responsibility. It should be your passion to make sure that, hey, it's going to start here at home.
Right.
You know, I will read the Bible with my son way more than, and my daughter way more than the youth groups will. I want to have that impact. And so this is why it's so important. But again, it goes back to that pencil.
Right.
If we hadn't been doing it, okay, it's time to switch it over. Yeah. And it may be a little awkward at first, but the more you do it, I promise you, the easier it's going to become.
Amen.
The better it's going to look.
Right.
Not prioritizing youth group and church involvement. You know, parents want their kids to have a dynamic, flourishing faith, and yet don't move heaven and earth to get them connected to both youth groups and churches. And guys, I have to say, just as a youth minister, it is so important that your kids are connected. You want them connected for two reasons. One, to supplement what they are getting at home. It almost reaffirms what you're teaching them at home. But two, to help them build spiritual relationships, because they're already building worldly relationships. They've had 9 hours at school to do that. And they have 5 days of that and 2 days of trying to build spiritual relationships. So it's just like anything else. Whichever one you feed the most, that's the one that's going to get the strongest. And so if your child is being fed all this worldliness, OK, that's the nature that's going to be the strongest. And so it's so important, guys, to keep them connected in church, not just come to church, allow them to serve, allow them to use their talents. Like, I can't wait. I'm so inspired, man. We're trying to put together a teen band, singers. I'm blown away because these guys are so excited that this is what their heart says. This is what they want to do. They want to sing. They want to do stuff. And it's like, wow, you know what? Man, that's God. Because it wasn't me that put singing in their hearts, because I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But I tell you what, I can sure encourage them to do it, and I can cheer them on and smile and cheer just as loud as anybody else. You know, but we have to prioritize that, guys. Also, because I'm running out of time here. Letting your teen activities take top priority over family. Now, this is big, guys. When our activities take top priority over everything that goes on in the family, we can't get together for dinner. We can't pray together as a family. We can't pray together because, oh, you're getting out of practice late. You're getting out of games late. You know, we have to miss church. And here's the deal. I'm all for, I pray nobody takes it that I'm saying don't do that. I am all for every child having extracurricular activities. I think it's needed. I think it helps them learn how to socially adapt to the world. I think it helps build their character. There's so many values. But as parents, especially as men, we cannot allow those activities to dictate how our children do and how they're going to function. Because it's easy to allow these games or these practices to get out of control. And now, man, we wonder, why is our children acting like those other kids on the team? Well, because they're spending so much more time with them that we don't get a chance to affect them spiritually. They're only being affected by the things that they see and that they're doing. And we as dads, we really need to have an impact on that. And lastly, the last one is not spending time with your teen. You know, a lot of parents make the mistake of not spending time with their teen because they assume their teen don't want to spend time with them. They assume, oh, they're not going to want to do what I want to do. They're not going to want to do. They'll think I don't want to do what they want to do. That is so far from the truth. What your teen want is to be around mom and dad. Especially dad. And it may seem like, oh, well, every time we're together, we're arguing and fighting and fussing. Guys, this is God's way of affording you and me an opportunity to make an impact. Let's get to the heart of the issue. Why are we arguing and fussing? What is it? You know, let's get beneath the surface. Let's start. And if we start doing these things, we can find out what it is. If we start really reading the Bible together, if we start praying together and spending quality time, understand that, man, a lot of those issues that we're having, God will, one, reveal them, but he will, two, help us to overcome them. And when we do, this is what it looks like when everybody is involved. We don't have one person falling asleep. We don't have, you know, one person not ready to get in the game. And the thing I want you to notice is that when we're involved, it don't just affect us. It don't just affect our children. It affects everybody in the stadium. Even the little kid is impacted now. And we have to understand that when God allows us the opportunity to impact our family, our friends, the church, our family groups, it don't just stop there. It is so much bigger than that. So tonight, brothers, I thank you for your time. I pray that each and every one of us will take the opportunities to get involved where we can. Amen. To God be the glory.